Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, May 9th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The organizers behind a new nonprofit in Sitka are thinking about the future. Connie Seip with the Greater Sitka Legacy Fund told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce Wednesday that the fund was designed to be a way for residents to make an enduring investment in their community. The Greater Sitka Legacy Fund was established earlier this year under the umbrella of the Alaska Community Foundation, which manages $58 million in assets for 11 towns and cities across the state. Seip stressed that the ACF provided only management expertise for the fund. When the fund grew large enough to begin awarding grants, those decisions would be made by a local board. Throughout the development of the project, steering committee members have been careful to draw a distinction between the fund and Sitka's numerous other nonprofits. In this brief excerpt, Seip explains how the Greater Sitka Legacy Fund would complement the existing nonprofit community rather than compete with it.
What happens is most nonprofits need money now for current things they're doing and current operations. This is a fund to try to address the needs in Sitka, whatever they might be, a long time from now, really. 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now. You know, a lot of the little community foundations have found they start and then they set goals and they get up to $2 million or $10 million over time, and then they have money to help Raven Radio, to help other nonprofits, to deal with immediate community needs. Perhaps there's a tsunami and a relief fund is needed. If they've got earnings from that year they could distribute, they could put it into that. It's not to take the place of any other nonprofit. It's actually to build a fund for long-term giving and to capture especially that kind of legacy giving. And other nonprofits can certainly do it, but this is also to think about the really long term. We don't even know. I mean, as Willow says sometimes, I hope Braveheart's still here 20 years. I hope Center for Community's still here. But I don't know if we'll be here or if something else will be here. This is to start going for the long-term future.
Connie Seip speaking to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce Wednesday afternoon. Seip said that the Greater Sitka Legacy Fund, thanks to the support of the Alaska Community Foundation, would be equipped to handle all the kinds of gifts, including boats and real estate, and add them to the endowment. She also said that the donors to the fund would specify where grant funding could be targeted, such as athletics or the arts. The steering committee is hoping to raise $25,000 in each of the next 2 years. If those goals are reached, the Rasmussen Foundation will contribute matching funds. To hear Seip's complete remarks on the Greater Sitka Legacy Fund and to view her slide presentation, visit our website, kcaw.org. The Sitka Assembly is scheduled to meet at 6 o'clock tonight for an in-depth look at the city's general fund. It's a $25 million pot of money the city uses to fund its basic operations, everything from police to fire protection to public works to parks and recreation. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, Sitka's mayor is looking for your input.
About a month ago, the Sitka Assembly and the Sitka School Board sat down in a room together to go over the district's budget. They didn't make a whole lot of news, the same conversations they have every year about how times are tough and both their budgets are tight and they'll need to work together to find solutions. But afterward, in the hallway, Mayor Mim McConnell was talking about all the decisions the city has to make in the months ahead, and she said,
I want to hear from people. I really do. I want phone calls. I want emails. I want to know how, you know, what is the most important part of our society that they want funded. You know, what is it, infrastructure, which includes roads, buildings, city buildings, parks, or is it salaries? Is it employees? Is it schools? Is it harbors?
So, I took the mayor's question out onto Lincoln Street.
How's it going? Got any thoughts on the city budget?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good. I'm doing a story on the city budget. You don't have a minute to stop and talk, do you? In a hurry?
Yeah.
Things started out slow. One guy just stared at me.
I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that. No? Okay. Well, thank you. Enjoy your afternoon.
So I changed strategies and rephrased the question.
If you had $25 million to spend,
What
would you write the first check for? Would it be the roads? Would it be the police? Would it be education or any of the other things of the city? What's the biggest priority for you for the city to spend its money?
I would say maintaining what we have. Yeah, like infrastructure.
you know.
Yeah.
I think that would be important. I think schools would be important. I think not going beyond what we have. I think to maintain what we have would be important.
Probably better park, maybe. Probably a better park where you can actually play like basketball without like something covering the top, you know, where people can play ball or, you know, just further, like a playground actually, sort of a deal.
Well, personally, I think the school system is very important because that's our children. That's our next generations. And then the roads could use a little work here and there, you know, to be honest with you. But, I mean, mostly it's, you know, getting businesses back in. You know, we've got so many empty buildings now.
That's a tough question. Most important thing is, I don't know, make sure the streets are safe.
People actually ended up having a lot to say. More police, less police, more money for the schools, maintain what we have, put some money toward preventing homelessness, and then there was Willow Moore. She asked to see a copy of the budget, and after about 30 seconds of looking at the numbers...
Do you mind if I look up something specific?
No.
She mentioned schools and long-range planning issues, like making sure we have enough money to maintain things we're building now when they fall apart in the future. But she also talked about city grants to nonprofit organizations. Moore runs a nonprofit, Braveheart Volunteers, and she says the money the city invests in those organizations helps them attract other grants. And that is outside money that ripples through Sitka's economy.
So it's very important that the city funds the Health and Human Service and the arts and cultural programs because they're bringing in, they're actively reaching out for those outside dollars and bringing millions and millions of dollars into our community.
So we've given you a small sampling of opinion on how the city should spend its money, but what about the actual budget? For that, we turn to interim city administrator and full-time finance director, Jay Sweeney.
That's okay. My chair here.
Who is taking a seat in our studio.
What I always like to try to tell folks is our budget is complex.
Indeed it is. The binder it comes in is about 400 pages thick, but we're going to focus on the general fund, a big pool of money the city uses for day-to-day operations. A police and fire service, paying most of its employees, parks and recreation, public works projects, stuff like that. It is the $25 million we were asking people about in the beginning of the story, and it is tightly balanced.
If every revenue came in exactly as projected, and we spent every last penny right down to the nibs, we'd have $38 left.
Still, the budget as it's written now is a plan, and only a plan.
But in the past, we have had years in which the budget has been exceeded, other years in which there has been a surplus.
For the budget year we're in right now, 2013, the city is predicting a surplus. But Sweeney emphasizes that whether the city actually has a surplus won't be known until the last day of the fiscal year.
That surplus is not a surplus now, today, at this moment. It's a projection of a possible surplus on June 30th, and you need to get to that date to see how everything ends up in the year.
You might know who's winning the game, but you don't know what the final score is until the ninth inning.
That's correct.
The Assembly already held two work sessions on the budget. Members have taken a quick look at the general fund and gone over the enterprise and internal funds with a finer-toothed comb. This upcoming hearing is all about the general fund, an in-depth look at the city's day-to-day spending. After that, it is two full meetings with public testimony, possible changes, and votes at the Assembly table before the budget becomes official. So, we'll ask the question again. If you were a city with $25 million to spend, for what would you write the first check? You can comment on this story online, or you can talk directly to your Assembly members. We've posted links on how to reach them on our website, kcaw.org. For Raven News, I'm Ed Ronco.
Sitka's Blue Lake Hydro Expansion Project has gotten a public relations makeover from a local filmmaker. Hannah Guggenheim recently released a 4.5-minute documentary about the project called Energy Independence of Our Future. The film is narrated by former city administrator John Stein.
Development of our fish-friendly hydro will provide reasonable cost energy for generations of Sitkans while reducing our need for costly diesel generation.
I am the future of Sitka. I am the future of Sitka. I am the future of Sitka.
The public will have two opportunities in the near future to learn firsthand about the $142 million project. Today, 5:30 p.m. in Harrigan Centennial Hall, consulting engineer Paul Carlson will give a slideshow on the project. A public tour will be offered Sunday, May 19th, leaving on buses from Harrigan Centennial Hall at 1 p.m. To reserve a seat on the tour or to check out the film, visit our website, kcaw.org. Southeast gill netters started heading to Southern Admiralty Island this week for the upcoming Seymour Canal herring fishery. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game put Seymour on 2 hour at 9 p.m. Monday. That means an opening could be announced as little as 2 hours ahead of time. This year's guideline harvest level is just over 1,000 tons of herring. That's a few hundred tons less than the 2012, but the fleet didn't end up fishing last year. They waited on the grounds for nearly 3 weeks before the state called it quits. Managers said the herring return was healthy, but the little silverfish never congregated in large enough schools to make an opening commercially viable. The department tries to open herring fisheries just before the major spawn, when the females are the ripest with eggs and larger schools of fish mass near the beach. Fishermen target the herring for their roe. 30% of this year's return is supposed to consist of older, bigger fish. That means more roe and more value. 56 permit holders are registered to fish Seymour this year. Seymour is the only herring fishery scheduled to open for Southeast gill netters. It typically takes off in late May, but has started as late as May 21st. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And now here's a look at Sitka's own weather. It is currently 46 degrees downtown under fair skies. Today it's going to be sunny with highs around 61, east wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, patchy fog, lows around 41. Friday, increasing clouds with highs around 58. And Saturday, expect rain, highs around 54, southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.